What do you suppose was going on in the mind, in the heart of Jesus, knowing all along as he sat around the table with his intimate disciples, knowing all along what would happen? The betrayal. The betrayals all around that table. Well, we have a sense from the gospel about that. And no doubt it deeply bothered him and deeply hurt. But this is what he says on the cross. Only Matthew and Mark have this one saying. There are seven sayings from the cross. Luke and John have the other six. That's their memory. That's their way of knowing the story and bringing it to light to their readers many years after the event. But Mark was probably the first gospel writer who remembers strongly, and Matthew, who was also there, also then, Matthew came later, but Matthew uses Mark's words to remember specifically this pointed saying of the cross. And only those two gospels have this one saying. As I said, the other two, Luke and John, have the six that come along later. This is what he says in verse 34. I begin reading at Mark 16, chapter of verse 33. Mark chapter 16, at verse 33. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" That line comes from Psalm 22. Jesus knew his Psalter. Jesus was like any boy, a young man growing up in Israel in those days, would have memorized the Psalms. They were the songs of the people. They were the tradition. They were the word of God. And so Jesus knew that psalm. But this is very interesting how this is put in both Matthew and in Mark here. Probably the first gospel writer was Mark. And what it is, see, Hebrew, Psalm 22 is a formal Hebrew. Psalm 22 is a prophecy, a poetry. It belongs to the people of Israel as a strong remembrance of their identity. And Jesus, no doubt, said that psalm from the cross. This line stands out for Mark especially. But here's the nuance. You see, Jesus spoke in Aramaic, the language of the people, the ordinary language, the language of how you talk to your friends, your children, your spouse, people at work. That language was Aramaic. And Jesus spoke in that language. So what's interesting is that both in Mark and in Matthew, they actually put in the Hebrew words. The other six sayings in the other two Gospels are not put in Hebrew. They are remembered by Luke and John to get a hold of the story of Jesus and what it all means. But Mark remembers especially this line, said with a hint of Hebrew in the Aramaic language, the language of Jesus among his friends. Very fitting, very strange. Other than Paul saying Abba in Romans chapter 8, it's the only Hebrew in the Greek text. The only Aramaic in the Greek text. Now, it didn't mean, of course, probably you know that the scriptures were translated into Greek and to Hebrew and so on. But in the text, the writers wanted this language. Why? Why would they want this particular saying of Jesus from the cross in this language? The other six sayings in the other two Gospels aren't done this way. So we can maybe go through that a bit by saying, well, it's intimate. The Gospel writers remember and captured the strangeness of that text. Jesus hung there, and what he should have said is, looking at the disciples and then maybe to the Romans, "You betrayed me. Why have you forsaken me? You followed me for years. Why have you forsaken me?" It didn't happen at the supper the night before, and it didn't happen on the cross. So why? Jesus instead turns to his God, his Father, and doesn't address him as Father. You notice that? He didn't say Father. That's a language of Luke, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." In this language that Mark remembers, he doesn't address Jesus of God as Father, but as God. "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He didn't blast the disciples for their abandonment, their betrayal. Didn't blast the Romans. Didn't rail across to the man who hung on the other side of him, who mocked him, saying, "You know, you saved others. Why can't you save yourself?" Just to God he speaks in the sayings of the cross that Mark remembers. Just to God. Why? What are we to make of this? Do you notice that Jesus got no answer? There's no voice from above that said in the text, if you read these texts, there's darkness, it says, and Matthew records an earthquake. There's no answer from God to this question. There isn't. And we ponder today, after all these years of this powerful story, we ponder still, why? Intimate language from the cross, Aramaic, because Jesus was speaking the common language of his people to his God. He was really, truly human. God, why have you done this? And then there's a whole side that you and I do not get. It has to do with the meaning of being made whole again with God. And do you remember something? We all know this a little bit. In Genesis chapter 2, in Genesis chapter 2, didn't it say there that when God spoke to the first man and woman in communication with him, didn't he say to them, "If you eat of that tree, you will surely die"? In other words, in Genesis chapter 2, God lays out the whole structure of how people are to relate to him. And this is his divine structure. When you sin, you will die. That we know that. When you sin, you will die. So Jesus' issue on the cross is not first of all with his disciples who betrayed him, not with this nature of life, you know, you do good and get killed for it. That's still happening. Our world is full of that. That stuff is normal, isn't it? To have life be ruined by human sin. That's just normal. That's just how it is. By grace you are saved through faith. This is the gift of God, says Paul. Because everything else is broken. And our God made a promise to all humanity. If you sin, you will die. This is a deep divine issue on the cross, where Jesus hangs there and he says, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" In intimate language. Because remember, Jesus did not sin. So the core issue on the cross is not human sin in some sense, because they do. God knows, Jesus knows. It's always been God's contention to deal with sinful people. But the focus on the cross is that Jesus did not sin. So he asks his Father, why? Why have you forsaken me? Why? Why the betrayal, God? Why have you gone against your own word? Why against your own text? Why is this the moment when Psalm 22, written so long ago, is now fulfilled, and I cry it out to you? Jesus got no answer, it seems. Did he? No voice from heaven. We said that already. No answer from God. Why? My God, why have you forsaken me? What is the answer to that question? We don't know fully because we could not possibly understand the mind of God. Except that the Apostle John says, when you know Jesus and his love and his sacrifice, then you know something about how God knows, how the Father knows the Son, and the Father and the Son knows the Father. So you will be known. Why, God, have you forsaken me? And the answer is, near as we can figure it out, because God so loved the world so loves you that he went against his own divine, sovereign, unquestioned, unconditional rule for life. If you sin, you will die. And so the Apostle Paul says graphically, he who knew no sin didn't just become a sinner. He doesn't say that. He says in the language of 2 Corinthians 5, he became sin. He became sin. Why did God forsake Jesus? It is the question of the cross, said from the Son to the Father in the most intimate dialogue and feelings that we cannot recapture. We are creatures. They are the Creator. But we have the good news. Because God so loved the world that he made us to be his body. So enjoy Good Friday and its powerful meanings, because we'll, you know us, you know yourself. Betrayal is part of the game. Part of our lives, we continue to be sinners, forgiven sinners, struggling sinners, sinners with hope in our hearts. The betrayals continue. But the question's been answered. Why did God forsake Jesus? So that you and I, that we together, could be his people forever. Amen. Gracious God, you let us in this gospel, into this deep, deep mystery, this awesome and strange voice from a cross to you in the dark, from your Son Jesus, the beloved one, your only Son, the sinless one. And you went against your own premises for humanity. Why? We are afraid to think we understand. We are afraid to tackle that completely. We are not you. You are not us. And yet, so much is there for us to connect us to you that we think, oh God, in the power of your Holy Spirit, by the good news of the gospel, and by our today remembering the suffering Jesus, we know why you so loved the world that you gave your only Son. We praise you today in Jesus' name. Amen.